Now, having produced this in conscience, the divine, to fulfill the purpose that he has in view, has imposed a law on this in conscience. That it will not impose light on it, it will not impose light on the inconscience unless the inconscience itself develops and demands light. The divine wants to manifest the light, because that was the main purpose. But for this specific purpose he has in view, he made this particular kind of a law. You might say the law of the game, the law of the play, by which this particular purpose can be fulfilled. And the law of the game is this, that he sent, as I told you earlier, the power of Agni into this inconscience, first of all. This is also the Vedic knowledge, that to awaken this inconscience, the first power that was thrown out into this was Agni. And Agni began to burn. But a law was made that it will not impose light upon the inconscience until the inconscience demands it. So it's a very curious kind of a game of what is called baking the inconscience. As I told you earlier, it was possible to destroy all inconscience at one stroke by sending sun on it directly, because the sunlight is a light in which all darkness is destroyed. But then the purpose of embodiment would not be fulfilled. Therefore Agni was sent, because Agni is a power which can coexist with night. If you put Agni in the night, then the darkness is not completely eliminated. Only a little light is there, and yet it can coexist with the darkness around. It's a very special kind of a power of Agni. So Agni was sent out because of this specific purpose. The purpose was to gradually develop. The embodiment has to be possible. First of all, body has to be brought out, so matter has to come out. So matter can come out only by a process of baking under the heat of Agni. Little by little, by the heat of Agni, by incubation of inconscience, a little bit of inconscience as it were wakes, a little bit. You can hardly call it waking. But as a result of it, what we call matter emerges out of it. This matter that we see now is a first emergence out of inconscience. Inconscience is a complete darkness in which there is not even a form of this kind possible. This formation is because of the power of Agni. All matter is actually some kind of a formation. There is at least to be a nucleus, as we now know in modern physics, and proton, and electron, and many other molecules vibrating They are constantly in motion. But because of exclusive concentration of consciousness, there is only play, but there is absence of consciousness. Action is on, and action is precise. The atomic structure behaves perfectly according to your law. There is no deviation from it. It is very precise action in the matter. But the consciousness, matter itself, is not aware of itself. It works out a precise movement of law without itself becoming aware that it is atom, that it is moving, it is circulating round the nucleus and so on. This kind of knowledge is not present in the atom. But it's the first emergence that is brought out. Now, this is brought out as the Veda says again, that when the tamas was covered with darkness, there breathed only the Supreme. And then there was a kama, which was the origin of the mind. In one sentence it describes three steps. Retas of the manas is kama. Retas is the seed. Retas of the mana, of the mind, is kama, that is life force. So out of matter, the second thing that emerged was the life force. What we call plantation, vegetation, was the second emergence out of matter. And out of this vegetation came out the mind. What we call mind, our mind, came out of that. Now you will see that till that point, what we call error, falsehood, or evil does not exist at all, either in matter or in life, or even in the rudimentary mind. It's not there at all. Nothing. Matter is not evil. Plants never make a mistake. We don't say plant has made a mistake. Plants grow automatically by force of their nature. So there is no error in it. There is no falsehood. There is no evil in it. There is no evil will in the rose or in any plant. But when the mind emerges, then there is the reign of emerging night. Ratri, which was described earlier, was not the emerging night. It was a descending night. It was a night which was still descending into greater darkness. Whereas our mind is a night which is emerging towards light, not descending towards inconscience. So the mind is the same thing as night, with this difference that that night was a descending night into the inconscience. Our mind is a night which is emerging towards light. So the description of mind and night would be identical basically, excepting this difference. But this difference in practical means is a tremendous lot. When this mind begins to emerge towards light, its perceptions are limited. It is awaking from exclusive concentration of consciousness, but not fully emerging out of it. Is gradually rising out of its exclusive concentration of consciousness. That is the real description of our mind. Our mind is what is called chanchala, is vivacious, constantly fluctuating. In a sense concentrated, but in a sense not concentrated at all. Our mind is all the time fluctuating. That is because it is struggling to awake. If it was only going to sleep, then this fluctuation would not have taken place. Even now, for example, when we try to sleep, that the mind gradually ceases to fluctuate and then it goes into sleep. But the awakened mind, when it is struggling to awake, it fluctuates a great deal. But it fluctuates you might say ignorantly. It doesn't know why it is fluctuating, what is its direction, towards what goal it is fluctuating. It doesn't know at all. It is ignorant of all that. Now, because of that reason, it gropes. And this is a special quality of the present mind in which we are. Groping. Consciousness is a special quality of our mind. In groping, it makes experiments. It tries this, tries that, tries another. In making these experiments, it makes errors. But then arises out of this error a further development. I have told you that there is a law which has been imposed upon the inconscient that unless it wants light, light won't be imposed on it. Now, while making an error, if the mind says, I want light, then there will be one kind of condition. But if the mind which is committing error does not demand light, then it will remain fixed in the error.